are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Leah King was a fencing athlete for Great Britain who lost her sight overnight due to a brain tumour. Since then, she's experienced many big changes in her life and has found new purpose as a mother, poet, YouTuber, and by helping others through Working for All Change Arts. She's here today to tell us more about her story and some of the skills she's gained after sight loss. Hi, Leah. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello.
So can you tell us about how you lost your sight?
So I was a GB athlete and I did fencing and I did it to a really high level. And at that time, I was supposed to go to Commonwealth. Now, I knew something wasn't right when I was supposed to be on my way to work and I found myself on the floor. So I had called my friend. He said, go to the hospital. I said, maybe I'll go after work. When I went there, I had stomach pains. I had a really bad migraine. I haven't been sleeping very well. And now I'm collapsing. So something isn't right. They said, go home and rest and drink water. Just take some time off. You're too busy. I called my mom and she said, right, well, go to another hospital, get a second opinion. As soon as I went to the second hospital, they admitted me straight away. They started running tests. Something wasn't right. They did tests. Then they were analysing me, blood tests, all different types of tests, and they still couldn't find it. And the pains just started getting worse. At the beginning, I thought it was just really bad period pains, but it really was not. As soon as I did the scan on my head, that's when they found Fatima. That's what I call my brain tumour. When they came back with the results, it felt like I was in Holby City or something. They basically said to me that I have a brain tumour the size of an orange and it's growing quite rapidly. They don't know how long it's been there for, but they need to do surgery quite quickly. They discharged me. November 5th in the morning, I woke up and I was blind. But I didn't know that I was blind. I thought I had conjunctivitis because it was really blurry. My eyes were sticking together. The day before, nothing was wrong. I had 20/20 vision. Everything was fine. So this morning, I was very confused. So I've called for my mum. I said, Mum, I can't see. I can't see. She said, okay. And we just sat in silence. And I said, Mum, do something. She said, okay, I'll get a flannel and hot water. Now, the Caribbean culture, there's this thing about hot water. It will cure everything. Just sap it with hot water and it'll be fine. And it just was not going away. And it just got worse and worse and worse. My mum then had to go back to work. So I was at home by myself with just me and my cat. It was just really, really tough at that time. But when we called the hospital, they said that it was because the tumour started growing even more, very fast. But there was nothing that they can do until my surgery that was in December. So I still had a month of this life that I was alien to. All I saw was dark grey, no detail, no nothing. And it was a time for just me and myself. This was like my transition stage. It was very hard, but I was clutching onto words from the hospital and from my surgeon telling me that my sight will come back straight after the surgery. Well, I didn't know that it wouldn't get back. And I've never, ever been the same since then. My sight hasn't improved as much, but yeah, we move.
After you had the surgery and things didn't improve as you were expecting, how did you accept that?
It took me a long time to accept it. I felt robbed. I was going through a grieving stage. I felt like no one understood me. So then I felt like the elephant in the room. I felt like I was just too much to handle. It wasn't the eyes that killed me. It was me not going back to fencing. Fencing has been my whole life. At a young age, when you decide to become an athlete, it's usually around between 12 and 16. You have to make that decision whether you're going for educational sports, and I went for sports. And I was always that person who was supposed to go to the Olympics for my family and my friends. And to think that I'm not going to be able to do that anymore broke my heart more than understanding that I would never get my vision back. I had another shift in my life that forced me to change. Because if you constantly just sit in your sorrows, then nothing will change and it will get worse. So I decided to make a great decision to become a mother.
And your due date was on the same date as a huge surgery for you as well.
Exactly, exactly. My due date was exactly 1 year after the surgery for my brain tumor. That's when I realized that not only was it meant to be, but I have a different purpose in life, even though I was adamant that my purpose was to go to the Olympics. I think when I was pregnant, there was a lot of sitting down with myself, trying to understand how I'm going to do this. I could not process, not only being a new parent, but being responsible for someone else was a really big shift. And that's what picked me up. That's what told me to get up and try again. My daughter's name is Zina Lynn, and she is absolutely amazing. But she is part of my purpose. She's not my whole life because I'm also myself. The shift of not having any sight does break a lot of people, but it will only break you completely if you let it. I can't let it break me because my life is not finished. I have another opportunity to do more. And that's how I started looking at life. My vision is through my ears and through my imagination. It's opened up a different realm for me. If you get it, you get it.
You also support other mothers and their children through your work. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I work with a charity called All Change Arts. It's a creativity charity bringing programs and projects to mothers, older people, and also young people. But I specifically work with mothers and their children on a project called Mums the Word. Shout out to you guys. My project is for mums that are 25 and older with children. And they are all sighted, working with a charity and working with other mothers. In a sense, I'm just bringing awareness to them that anyone can do it. You don't have to look or be able-bodied or have sight. They ask me a lot of questions because they don't get it. But with parenthood, I realize that everybody is winging it. My daughter, she's 5 now. When I had her, I explained to them I had worse sight than I had now. So I didn't know what to do. When I had Zina, I had to put her in a sling because I had to use my cane. I just had my cane training. I was very brand new to it. I put her in a wrap so I can focus on my cane training. But then she got too heavy. So I had to find a buggy that's got a lot of suspension and barriers around the buggy. So when I walk, I'm not hurting her. No one's hurt. We're still kicking it. And we go again, you know. 2 years ago now, Zina's father passed away. And now it's just been me and her. It's been hard. And I'm feeling a different type of loneliness, especially with my parenting. But it's now pushed me again because I'm forced to get up and do something. You need to try and find something that will get you going, get that energy back.
You went through so many huge changes all at once. What advice do you have for people who are struggling with sight loss or who need a bit of hope?
I know it sounds like I've done a lot, but there was a time where I didn't know who to turn to. I didn't know where to go. And the first thing that I did, I was with a charity called SHP, which is Single Homelessness Project. And I was homeless at one point. And they were the people who guided me to All Change Arts. So I was actually a participant there and I got put into a mum's group, and I'm not really a people's person. I didn't really want anyone to see me because I didn't want to be that problem. I didn't want to be the person, now we've got to make her a tea or we've got to guide her. Or I found it hard to lose my independence. I still find it hard to ask for help. And it's not that you're losing independence. You're finding your independence being dependent on some things. It's only my eyes and my ears that are gone. My legs still work. My hands still work. I've still got some bits of my brain that wants to work with me on some days. Some days I suffer from Charles Bonnet as well. So a lot of it is imaginary. But I was actually a participant of All Change Arts. And when I found that group, I asked them to help me. And then I asked for a job. I had to use my words. And I just thought working with somewhere that I feel comfortable with will keep me grounded. It can be just a hobby or a group, just to make sure that there's some place you come out the house at least once a week or look forward to, even if it's a phone call, that was great. But then I realized that I could actually do more and I had to figure out what skills I still have. Who can I speak to? What type of people do I like? What type of people do I want to help? How do I want to help myself? And that's when I started building up the skills that I have now. So the book is already written and published with All Change Arts. When I was in the mum's group, it's called Hope Exists Amongst the Chaos. And we did this as well through lockdown. And this is why we named it like that. Hope exists amongst the chaos. Not only our lives are chaotic, but just the world was very chaotic at the same time. And I write poems. It's like a book of different poems. And I wrote poems about my sight. I wrote poems about grieving, even about feeling like I'm a rubbish mom. I've written poems about sitting on the toilet. It's all different types of poems that I've written. And it's actually in an exhibition at the Barbican Library at the moment. So I'm going to go and visit that. And then I have a family member of mine who had started trading, contacted me. She'd reached out to me. And I just said to her, you're talking to me about this thing, but let me ask you, do you really think that I could do it? She's like, Leah, you could learn how to do it. It was okay. I can listen to the videos, which were fine. I tried trading myself. It was okay. Won a few, lost a few. But what I realized is that the community that they have couldn't actually help me. There's help out there, but not for the visually impaired. So you have to try and figure it out for yourself. I feel like I'm the one to try and figure out all these things and then tell my sight loss community what to do and what not to do. I've been practicing. And now I can trade for myself.
And Leah, where can people learn more about you and stay up to date with all of the wonderful things that you're doing?
You can follow me and find me on Instagram. I'm called The Blind Mum, THEBLINDMUM. And you will find my face. I'm a black woman with dreadlocks. I also have my YouTube channel talking about blind stories, how people have like, you've seen my cane and picked me up on the bus because they think that my feet don't work and stuff like that. It's mad. That's also The Blind Mum on YouTube. And I also have a hairdressing business on Instagram. It's called One Lily Locks. So that's the number one, LEELEELOCS, and on TikTok. DM me.
Thank you so much, blind mum, poet, trader, YouTuber, and woman of many, many talents, Leah King, for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.